Thank you for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
We're going to be in John chapter 14, so you may want to find that. Pastor James has been preaching for a while now on walking in truth, the importance of hearing the truth, the importance of knowing the truth, the importance of living the truth, the importance of walking out the truth, the importance of studying the truth, writing the truth on your heart, being learned in the truth, understanding exactly what truth is. And then I'm going to follow that up now with a series on the Spirit. And you know what happens a lot of times is people think those are two different things. Well, there's the truth and there's the Spirit, and we know we've got to have both. Listen, they're one and the same. He is the Spirit of truth. We're going to see that in just a moment. They're one and the same. They're inseparable. They're inseparable. You don't have truth without the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit without truth. They're one and the same. And for the church, for believers, for His body, to be able to understand that and listen to that. Because you can fall into the trap of just, let's say that we make the truth all about the Ten Commandments. I'm just saying. Let's say that we did that. We make it all about the Ten Commandments are great. Should we keep the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Absolutely we should. But we could be, in our minds, doing our very best to keep the Ten Commandments and be angry people. We could do our very best to do those things and making sure that we're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and be dry as toast inside. Because the Holy Spirit commands us to love right through all of that. We're going to look at that in just a minute. They're inseparable. They go together. And so when we look, and we're going to start with John 14 today, over the course of the coming weeks, we won't go through all, but John 14, 15, 16, and 17 is what I would call Jesus' farewell address. Now, they're not his last words. You know, he's still going to speak the Great Commission. He's still going to speak in Acts 1:8. You read, he says, I want you to go and I want you to pray and I want you to wait on the Holy Spirit and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes. You have other words that are his last words, but this is his farewell address. There's an extended time of four chapters of Jesus speaking directly to his disciples and ultimately the church. So his 11 in the church. That's who he's speaking to right now. Those that would follow after him, which is you and I. He's going to speak all sorts of truth during this time. All sorts of truth. He's going to lay out his mission, his plan. He's going to tell them in the first six verses here of chapter 14 about the fact that he is going to the cross and that he is and why he's doing it. He's going to lay that out. He's going to talk about the second coming even in that. He's going to mention that. He's going to introduce the Holy Spirit. You're going to understand who the Helper is. He's going to talk about the Trinity, how he is one with God. And you're going to see that whole picture through these chapters. He's going to get to chapter 15, and he's going to talk to you about this umbilical relationship, this relationship that happens when you abide, when you're fully connected with him, and you everything that you do is in connection with him. Abiding in chapter 15. He's going to get to chapter 16, and he's going to talk about how the Holy Spirit brings conviction in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. He's going to talk about in chapter 17, oneness of the church, how the church is supposed to be one. Just as he and the Father are one, he wants us to be one. He wants us to be one with him, and he wants us to be one with one another. All of those things are covered in this farewell address, extended time of teaching. Just wanted to say, hey, look, guys, I'm going away. I want you to remember this. I know you've watched me. I know you've walked with me. I know that you've heard me. I know that you've seen me. I know that you've seen the stuff that I've done. But I want you to understand that even though I'm going away, we're not through. We're not through. He's not through. He still has purpose and plan and an extended time for his people that will bring glory back to the Father. We're going to pick up all of that in the beginning of chapter 14. So today's going to be kind of teachy because there's some things I want you to understand before we We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and he's going to get introduced today. By the way, the Holy Spirit is a He, not an it. Okay? It's the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit, not me. He's not a thing. He's not an it. He is the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of truth. So I want you to look with me in John chapter 14. And I know Pastor James has actually spoken a little bit about it in the last couple of weeks. He's spoken about this particular chapter, or this particular little passage in chapter 14. And he's mentioned the fact that it does get used a lot at funerals. It does. I quote it all the time at funerals. And it does. But part of it, there's a part that we're going to look at in a second that everybody hangs on to. I want my mansion. Anybody here want their mansion? Okay, you're going to be disappointed that a mansion doesn't mean mansion. Okay? I'm going to tell you that in just a second. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have five-star accommodations in heaven. I promise you, you will not complain. You won't get there and go, I was promised a mansion. I don't like where I'm living. No. There'll be none of that. There'll be none of that. But that's not actually what mansion means, okay? So let's look. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's set the scene for a second. He's been in the upper room with the disciples. He's washed their feet. He said, told Jesus he's going to betray him. He's loved on him. He demonstrated the full extent of his love. He begins to tell him, I'm going away. Hey, guys, I'm going to the cross. I just want you to know. He tells them that again and again throughout the 3 years that he's here, and they never heard him. And now it's like really setting in. And their hearts are troubled because they had this idea that Jesus was going to come and Messiah was going to set up his kingdom. And they were going to be part of that. They were in the inner circle. And he was going to rule and reign in a physical kingdom on this earth right then. And that's what they were looking for. And he's like, I'm going away. And their hearts were troubled. So he says, in the old King James, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. The ESV, it reads, let not your hearts be troubled. And then he says two things. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, that's going to be a repeated theme. We're going to see that in we're going to cover 17 verses today. And in those verses, we're going to see believe in me. Three different times, he's going to say, believe in me. Believe in me. Believe in who I am. In the same way that you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm just going to kind of work through these first couple of verses before we get to the meat of where we'll be today. Many rooms in the ESV. Many mansions. Okay? The actual Greek word is more. And what that Mone. And what Mone means is a dwelling place. It's a dwelling. You're going to get a new dwelling. Now, hang on to that word dwelling, because in just a second, Jesus is going to say, the Father dwells in me. And in just a second, he's going to say, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. One day when we're in his presence, we're going to get a brand new dwelling place. We'll have a brand new body. We'll have a brand new place to dwell. Will there be a mansion? Will I have a house on 3rd Street or whatever it is in heaven? Listen, the streets are gold. We know that, right? So the place where we stay will probably be pretty nice. But he's not talking about building. I'm not going there. Jesus is a carpenter, but he didn't go to start working on your house. Okay? That wasn't his plan. I go there to prepare a place for you. I'm picking up my hammer and I'm going to make it an oak. That's not what he's doing. He has a plan, all right. In my Father's house are many dwellings. But we're not sure what he told you. That I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. He says, I'm going to prepare a place. He is about to go to the cross. That was the ultimate preparation. It was the way for us to go to heaven. You understand that? We were completely, this is a great place for the gospel to come out. In just a second, he's going to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, we were completely separated from holy God. There was absolutely nothing, and there is absolutely nothing that we can do to solve that problem on our own. We can't be good enough. We can't clean ourselves up enough. Every single one of us have already sinned. We've already broken that. We've already fractured that. We've already been there. We were born into a life of sin. Nobody had to teach us to sin. We just did so. That was our nature. We had a sinful nature that we were born into. We were helpless and hopeless to fix it. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, He provided His only Son. Jesus became flesh, dwelt among us. He came here, freely gave, freely sacrificed Himself on a cross, giving His life as the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb for you and I. And what He did was He took all of my sin and He took all of your sin. We just sang about it. He took my sin and my sorrows and He made them His very own. He bore my burden in Calvary and He suffered and died alone. That was the gospel right there we were singing. That's what He did. He took all of your sin upon Himself. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going. I am going to the cross, and me on the cross is preparing a place for you. It's an opportunity now for you to be reconciled. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that God fully, He reconciled us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He made us, He called us to be ministers of reconciliation. So He prepared a place on the cross. He prepared a way. And He looked at him and said, "You know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You're going. How can we know the way?" And then Jesus says, "I am the way." Let me say that again. I am the way. The truth. The life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. He declared Himself the only way. Well, that's kind of narrow, isn't it? It's very narrow. It's very true. He's not a way, He's the way. He's not the best way, He's the way. There is no place. There is no connection with the Father in heaven except through the way that He provided on the cross. That's it. There's no other. We can't. Again, be good enough. But what about all of those other religions? Can they all be wrong? Yes. Nicely, if I can say it, absolutely, they can be wrong, and they are. They are. But they sound so good. They do. Every one of them has you working your way to heaven. But in this case, heaven came to us through Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking at in the first six verses of chapter 14. He's the way. He is the truth. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Everything that Pastor James has been preaching about as far as truth goes, it exists in a person of Jesus Christ. He's the truth. We've said before, His book, His word is the truth about the truth, right? Every word of His truth. Every single word of His truth. It's the truth about the truth. Because He's the truth. And this speaks of His life in a perfect way. But what if I read a different translation? Do you not think Jesus is big enough to speak through whatever translation you'll read? I know that twists people up, but I'm just going to tell you, don't get twisted up over such things. Do not get twisted up over such things. King James was a wonderful translation back in the day. It was a translation, unless you can read in the Greek and the Hebrew and Aramaic, because that's the three ways that the Bible is written. There's several verses, if you go back to the book of Daniel in Aramaic. Unless you can read those three languages, you're not reading the original. You're reading a translation. And God can speak through whatever translation you're reading. Which is the best one? The one you'll read. That's the best one. Which one do you have? Well, when you read it, that's the best one to have. The very best one to have. It really is. Because God can speak through it. If you dig in there, if you go searching for Him, you will find Him. He doesn't want to keep Himself from you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He's the God of revelation. And He'll reveal Himself through whatever translation you're reading. back to chapter 14. Philip said to him, well, let me back up. He said, if you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? You still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Listen, in the Greek, when you read that, literally what it says is that I am the Father and the Father is me. That's what it means. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We are one and the same. We are interchangeable. We're the same. This is the beginning of him introducing the Trinity, and that you can see, if you go back all through the Old Testament, you'll see the Trinity all the way back to Genesis. All the way to the beginning of creation, there was the Trinity. They always were. Jesus always was. He only came to this earth as a human being, born through Mary at that time, and was here for those 33 years, but he always was. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, capital W, is Jesus. He always was. He always was. So when we, it's really, really important that we're going to unpack some of this right now, that you understand that Jesus was God. When he came to this earth, he was the physical representation of God on this earth. Now, yes, he communicated with his Father who was in heaven. How does that work? I have no idea. But he was God. He was completely and wholly God. We have to see him as believers, as evangelical believers that follow Scripture. As Christians, we have to understand that he was God. I'll call them false religions, filled with good people that are misled. Okay, because you probably know some people in these two religions. But the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are filled with good people. But they both believe that Jesus Christ was a created being. The Mormons believe he was actually the brother of Lucifer. Well, if he's the brother of Lucifer, then he was a created being. He was a creation by the Creator. And if he was a created being, he can't be your Savior. If he was a created being, then he would not have been perfect. He would have been under a curse of sin. If he was a created being, then he is not Jesus Christ, our Savior. He must be God. Like he said he was. He must be. We must see him as that way. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was God, came to earth. Emmanuel, God with us, who came down from heaven and spent 33 years, 3 years of ministry, and 30 years prior to that, living, breathing, here, God putting on a flesh suit, coming here, left equality with God. Philippians chapter 2 tells us he didn't hang on to it as something to be grasped, but instead he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. That's from Philippians chapter 2. Fully God, becoming fully man. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now hang on to that statement, because we're going to look in just a second, and he's going to talk about giving us his Spirit to dwell in us, just like the Father dwells in him. In him. So here's the reality. When we get to the end of this sermon, this is what we should be able to say. Pastor Kim was just standing up here. If you've seen Kim, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Diane, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Cindy, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Junior, you've seen the Father. That's what it should look like, because we have the Spirit of the living God living within inside us. Amen? In the same way. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, he says. Let's go back to Scripture. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority.
but the Father who does what? Dwells in me. The Father who dwells in me. He's going to give us in just a little while scriptures to say that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He uses that same language. He dwells there. He lives there. He fully encompasses. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. He says, listen, Philip, haven't you seen enough of the works to know that no man does that? Nicodemus recognized that right off the bat, didn't he? He shows up and he says, listen, no man can do what you do unless the Father's with him. So he had it. Nicodemus the Pharisee, he recognized that there's something about you, Jesus. But Jesus is going to tell him he's got to be born again. He's going to challenge you to his core. But the works themselves spoke to the fact that the Father was in him. It spoke to the fact that, but you've got to understand that what Jesus is saying right here, what we read in red, if you've got a red letter edition, it's in red. Anybody got a blue letter edition? And it turns me on. He says, I got a new Bible. So I ordered one, and I can't. I love it. It's a great Bible. It's so soft, man. It turns pages. But instead of red, the letters are in blue. And I'm like, my eyes, I don't know. It's called soft reading, and it really is soft on the eyes. It's really cool, but I'm looking for red. I don't know why. I'm just looking for red. So that Bible, anybody want a nice blue letter Bible? I got one. No, I'm not giving it up. It's cool to read. It is. But I like to see those red letters. Jesus spoke those. Represents his blood, doesn't it? And he spoke them. And he's speaking right now. Believe on account of what you see. And he says, truly, truly, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Let's stop right there. Now, we did a series. It's always back when we were in the gym, and I want to say it was probably like 09, 010, somewhere along there. Anyway, we did a series called Greater Things. Pastor James talked to it. It was fantastic. And it was all surrounding around this verse, and he went in depth for weeks and weeks about what greater things looks like. That Jesus says, look, I'm going to the Father. In just a second, he's going to tell him, I'm sending you a helper, and greater things than these than you'll do. You just saw, he just makes the statement, let the works speak for themselves. But then he says, greater things you'll do. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Listen, he's not talking about, Jesus did miraculous things. And do miracles still occur today? Yes, if they don't, let's go home. Same Holy Spirit lives in us, lives right then. Same Holy Spirit. So yes, miracles still happen. But he's not talking about miracles. He's talking about greater things is in the multiplication of everything that I'm doing while I'm here on this earth. Because he lives in you, and 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 you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And because of that, can it not just explode? Should it not explode? One of the great things about the book of Acts, when you get in there and you start studying, from the time that all of a sudden Pentecost happens and the Holy Spirit falls, and 3,000 people get saved, and then the next day more people get saved, and the next day more people get saved, and Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Spirit, and they drop dead in the church house, and even more people get saved. Imagine that. And God added to their number daily, it says, those who were being saved. Daily. Why is that? Because Peter was a great preacher? No. Because you and you and you and you and you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I said, you've got to hear this. You've got to see this. You've got to know what this Jesus has done in my life.
Listen, all my life I've been taking sacrifices. All my life I've been going into the temple. All of my life I've been trying to do good, and I'm sinning as soon as I walk out the door. And all my life I've felt hopeless. But God, He said, Jesus, He died on the cross. He didn't just die, He rose again 3 days later. Man, they're sharing that with an excitement that you couldn't put out with a fire hose. And because they're sharing it, God's adding to the number daily. Daily, the people will be saved. Greater things than these shall you do. Greater things, more and more and more. The Holy Spirit in you, when you believe that God can, when you're fully surrendered, we'll talk about it in just a second. He can do the miraculous through your hands. But we don't chase the miracle, we chase the giver of them. We chase after Him. Completely. Greater things, He says, than these shall you do. For I am going to the Father. Wait a minute, Jesus. You're going. How are we going to do greater things? Because we got nothing. I mean, there was a lot of the disciples have been humble. There's a time when Jesus had sent them out. You know, He sent them out two by two, and they went out. They come back all pumped. They had preached the word, and they said, "Hey, even the demons are subject to us." And they were fired up. And then it's only a couple of weeks later. All of a sudden, this man brings his son to them, and Jesus is up on the mountain with James and John, Peter, James, and John. And it's the Mount of Transfiguration, and they come back down after this glorious time in the presence of God to a whole bunch of people arguing because this man had brought his son to the disciples, and they couldn't do a thing with the boy who was demon possessed. They had no power on their own. We have no power on our own, but surrendered to Him, we have all power. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have all power. Walking in the Spirit, we have all power. Because I'm going to the Father. And then He says these words. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do. Amen. That's got to be a misprint, amen. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Lord, let the darkness come to death. In your name. No. That's for my gain. Because I'm a hopeless Dolphins fan, okay? That's for my gain. No, to His glory. To His glory. Whatever you ask in my name. To His glory. And then He's going to double down on that. He's going to say, if you ask me anything in my name, anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in my name. Does that mean if I just tack on in Jesus' name, then it's good, right? Lord, I'm not even going to get it. If I just tack on in Jesus' name, no, that's not what it means. In my name, fully surrendered to His name, fully and completely underneath His authority. Turn with me to the book of Mark real quick. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. Just put back a couple of pages. Mark 8, 34. There's a great verse here. Y'all have heard it. You've seen it. You've read it. Hopefully. Mark 8, 34. It says, He called to Him the crowd with His disciples and said to them, now in red letters, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You want to come after me? You want to ask something in my name? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. In other words, it's not about you. We've said many times that our prayer life, listen, God loves you and He cares about every single detail in your life. Can you pray and ask Him where your phone is at? Or your keys are at? Or your code is at? We have, at my house, we have a daily, I'm sorry, We have a daily find my fill in the blank. Help me find my fill in the blank. It's missing. Whatever it is, it's missing. Lord, can you just show us? Can you ask me about that? Absolutely. Does he care about those things? Absolutely. He does. We can ask him about anything. We really can. But what he wants is us fully surrender to him. What he wants is for us to ask him, having already heard from him, fully aligned with where he's at on the big things, on the important things. So I want you to listen real carefully, because this sometimes gets a bad name. Because I've seen, you ever listen to other people pray? Let me just say this. You ever listen to other people pray and go, man, I wish I could pray like that? I hear some people pray sometimes, and I'm like, oh, man, they pray with such faith. And I'm not being critical, because they do. And we're supposed to pray in faith, right? We're supposed to pray believing. We're supposed to completely in faith. But if I add at the end of it, if I say, Lord, your will be done, is that a cop out? Because I've had some people look at me and say, that's kind of a cop out there, saying your will. You're praying in faith, but then you say your will be done. Well, if it was a cop out, then Jesus did it, didn't he? He's on his knees in Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood, everything in his flesh saying, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. And then he asks, yet not my will, but yours be done. He denies himself right there. Did his flesh really want the cup to pass? Did his flesh really want there to be any other? Absolutely, it did. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. And he put himself right back under the covering of his heavenly Father and said, not my will, but yours be done. It's okay to pray, your will be done. It's also okay to ask big, huge, humongous, outrageous, outlandish, faithful things. It is also okay to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is way too big for anybody on this earth, but it's not too big for you. So I'm going to come to you in faith, and I'm going to ask. But not my will. It's not about what I want. You're praying healing over somebody that you love, and you're praying in faith. But Lord, your will be done. Anyway, it's okay. It's okay. Because at that moment, you said, not mine, but yours. I'm still, listen, me personally, I'm always going to pray for the miracle. I'm always going to pray for something outlandish. I'm not afraid to do that. But I'm also okay saying, Lord, but I trust you. Even if I don't get it, even if it's an even if. Even if it's, I'm Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing there looking at the fire and saying, the God that we serve is able to deliver me from this fire, but even if he does not, O King, I will not bow down. Even if it's an even if, I'm going to pray for the miracle, but I'm going to trust you, even if I go in the fire and it'll come out. I'm going to trust you, even if the results don't look like what I want it to look like. Amen? I got hurt. So, yeah. It's been a while since I preached, so. If you love me, look at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, I could start with that. And it's really, 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 really easy. We can get into the role of the rich young ruler, can't we? Which one? Keep my commandments. Which one? Remember the rich young ruler? I kept all this since I was a kid. Because he named off some that he knew he was good with. In his mind, he was good with. Spirit of the law, he wasn't good with, but he was in, and he just thought, I've got this covered. And then Jesus hit him with, no, you got to take everything you got
and give it to the poor. Because that's why I have no other gods before me. You've got gods before me. Which one? Listen. If you love me, you know what motivation is? You know what purpose is? There was, growing up, both my mom and daddy disciplined me. And they disciplined me occasionally. Y'all saw me cover your ears. Occasionally, they would discipline me through spanking. I earned every one and more than that that they didn't catch me on. I did. But I knew that they disciplined me out of love. So there was some time when I would do things because I didn't want the discipline that might come on the other end. That was my motivation. I didn't want that. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say if you're scared of me, keep my commandments. If you love me, now the fear of God is very real. The fear of God is something that we should have. It's true. But who's he talking to right now? He's talking to his disciples and to the church. Amen? If you love me, let that be your motivation for obeying me, because obedience matters. Well, does that mean the big 10, all 10 of them? Well, let's start with the big 2. When Jesus was pinned down about which was the greatest commandment, he named 2. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, love people, right? Vertical, horizontal. Love God, vertical. Love people, horizontal. Let's start with those. If you love me, do that. Now, transparency here. Full transparency. I've always felt like I've been pretty good at the second one. I really have. I thought, I love people pretty good. And I do. I try hard to love people. But there's some people I don't like. There's some people who are hard to love. So last week, Fran and I, we happened to be with someone that I was having a hard time with in my inside. Fran knew that. She called me on it later. She's my Holy Spirit in a moment, but it was God used her. He used her. She said, your disdain for them was palpable. Now, that's a lot. Those are big words, I know. But I understood them. And she was right. She was right. She was 100% right. I couldn't say a word. I couldn't justify it. I tried for a moment, but she was right. I'm taught to love them. It doesn't matter if I don't like them. It doesn't matter. I'm taught to love them. And I wasn't still in love. I didn't say anything wrong. I didn't say anything mean. I didn't, none of that. Those other, the person I'm talking about wouldn't have known, but my wife knew because she knows me better than anybody. She knows me. And in that moment, I had to go, and I know how you love me. And because you love me, and because I've been forgiven much, I have to forgive much. And because you love me, I've been called to love people. That's our role. That's our role. So obedience matters, doesn't it? It matters greatly. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then I will ask God, I'll ask the Father, and he will send you another. Another means one like me. Like one just like me. He's going to send you another of the same kind. Another helper. Parakletos is the word for helper. Parakletos means counselor. It means comforter. It means advocate. And he's going to be the one that would come alongside of you. This Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you another just like me. I've
been with you. You've watched everything I've done for the last 3 years. You've got the WWJD bracelet, and you've thought about it every single time. If you go anywhere, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I think Jesus would do this. You don't need the bracelet anymore. You have the Holy Spirit. We just read that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. This helper, the Parakletos that I will send you, that the Father will send you, will be with you. How long? If you read Scripture, it says forever right there. He's not going to be with you temporarily. He'll be with you forever, is what it says. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit used to make visits. The Lord would, there were prophets, priests, judges, kings, all at different times that the Holy Spirit would come and rest upon, work through, speak through, do miraculous things through, lead through, all of those things. The Holy Spirit resting for a time. But there was also a time, if you remember Psalm 51, when David hits his knees, and Psalm 51 is the whole entire chapter is a repentance time because he's been caught. And he says, at one point, Lord, please, take not the Holy Spirit from me. Okay, because, you know what? God did that back then. In the Old Testament, that's what he did. But he says, now he's going to send, I'm going to send a helper to dwell in you. You will know him. The world can't know him because they don't know me. The lost world, they will not know him. They will not receive him. They will not recognize him. But you will know him because he will dwell in you and be with you. You will know him. The same language that he just used about he and the Father. I'm almost done. It's the same language he just used about he and the Father. Don't you know that the Father is in me? And now the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's my Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit of Jesus. I shouldn't say it. He is the Spirit of Jesus. He, let's read that again. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit dwelling with you and I, inside us, and we'll be ready. I'm not going to finish that. I'm just going to stop, and I'm going to transition and pick up next week. But here's the thing. Remember back at the very beginning when Jesus looks at Philip and says, Philip, if you see me, you see the Father. I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. He dwells in me, so if you've looked at me, if you've watched the things that I've done here, you've seen the things that the Father does. And now he transitions, and he makes this handoff, and he says, greater things than these will you do, church, because I'm going away. Will you do, disciples, because I'm going away. I'm going to send you a helper, another one just like me, even the Spirit of truth, a Parakletos. He's going to counsel you. He's going to teach you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to guide you. Now, later on in the chapter, in 14, 15, and 16, you're going to see that he teaches them all things. He reminds them of all things. You're going to see lots of different things. The Holy Spirit always points back to Jesus. It always points back to Jesus. Always points back to Jesus. He brings conviction regarding sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's also your filter. How many of you need a filter? Point at somebody that needs a filter. No, don't do that. Don't do that. If you're saved, you have a filter. You have a holy filter. He can be your filter. Let him be your filter, please. Please. Right, more about that next week. If he lives in you and I, when people look at us, they ought to be able to see and say, there's Gail. I see Jesus in Gail. They ought to be able to say, there's Bobby. I see Jesus in Bobby. They ought to be able to say that about us.
Are we perfect? No. Do we still mess up? Oh, yeah. Thank God for His grace. God always honors repentance that we prayed for just a moment ago. He always honors the repentant heart. But He still requires obedience. You will experience Him more when you obey. When we learn to walk in His Spirit that we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks, when we learn moment by moment that I can't possibly remember all the things that I'm supposed to do right and I'm supposed to do not do wrong. I can't possibly. I can't even remember that in my own house. There's no way I can remember that. But I have a Holy Spirit that in every moment will be my guide. In every moment will be my advocate. In every moment will go before me. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Again, I just have to stop right here. And I just want to say this for every head bowed and every eye closed, and the bands will make their way up here. But the first thing I want to do is I just want to invite anyone here that might not know Him. I gave a 3-minute presentation of the gospel earlier. I need you to know something. Jesus Christ loves you enough that He gave His life to you. But He didn't do so just because He was a good guy. He did so because He was the perfect sacrifice and the only one able to remove your sin and mine. He was the only one. And He did that just for you. And just for me. If you were the only person on earth, He would have died for you. You were the only one. That was God's plan from the very beginning. He sacrificed Himself. He gave His own life. And He asked for us to receive that free gift of grace that He offered. He said, come. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Lay it all at my feet. I'll take it all. I died for it all. Give it all to me. If you'll do that, if you'll believe in me, if you'll believe in what I've done, if you'll believe in the message of the cross, the message of the gospel, you can be saved. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, but you'd like to, you don't know for sure. You can't say for sure that you know Him, but you want to. Wherever you are, just lift your hand. Pray for you. I see you, brother. I see you. Yeah, I see you. Thank you. Tammy, thank you. Anybody else? Just go send somebody to you. That's all. They're going to come and pray with you. Anybody else? Pray for you. You don't know Him, but you want to. God sees you. He's the God who sees. He knows you. He knows all about you. He knows everything you've ever done. He loves you anyway. He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.